Hello and welcome once again to The Tripod, where we break down every single NRL game every week from a betting perspective, giving out betting information, betting strategy, and of course, free best bets. Now, to break down round 24, I'm joined by Jacob live in the studio. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thanks, mate. Yeah, 2 weeks in a row live in the studio together, so it's good to do them in person.
Definitely.
And I'm feeling like quite energised. I'll tell you where I've been. As you know, I ran a little bit late today.
Yes.
I told you I had an appointment.
Yep.
I was in a hyperbaric chamber for 90 minutes. Yeah,
that's sweet.
As you know, I broke my rib about six weeks ago, and I've been struggling like letting that heal and stuff. And I was meant to go see like a, I'll try and get like a remedial massage just to help with like, because I've had stiff muscles from sleeping and that. And then they said, oh, she's not available anymore, but our hyperbaric chamber's going to be available.
Fuck yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm interested. And they said it's $150. I'm like, oh, well, thanks anyway.
Yeah.
They said, all right, we'll give you the same price as the massage, $49. So finding value.
Good. Finding value.
Apparently the Broncos actually go there too. And I mean,
right.
So I'm working all right for them the last couple of weeks. So
it's pretty cool.
I've got like a heightened level of awareness, I think. Like I've had like 300% more oxygen in my body for the last like, you know, couple of hours.
Yeah, they just like, it's a horizontal sort of cylinder tube type thing, and
it's
they
like
just
a,
slide
being
in.
Inside a submarine, but it's like air pressurized, so it's like being inside a plane, but
yeah, right.
Yeah, something different.
That's
so
pretty cool.
I don't know if my picks are going to be any better this week. I mean, we've won,
hopefully.
Well, we've won 12 out of 13.
12 out of the last 13.
So last week we won 3 out of 4, like only 4 picks last week because we didn't love the slate, but you know, we went pretty close to perfect. The
Definitely.
One bet that we've lost in our last 13 straight was the Tigers.
Yep.
And I mean, you have to stand by that pick at home. Did everything they could to not win that game in the last 10 minutes.
Absolutely. 3 missed conversions in the last sort of 10 minutes or so. And 2 of those were definitely makeable, one from the sideline, but yeah, they should have had that. And of
like,
course,
Hayne
is the dagger.
Yes, like Hayne can kick a field goal from 45 minutes. Mitchell Moses can't kick like a penalty goal from slightly to the left of the uprights. And I would say it's as if he doesn't even practice. That's not even an excuse.
Oh, no.
You and I don't practice kicking. No. We can make those kicks, and we've literally recorded it and proven it. It just, it's diabolical. Like, it's so bad, and it's, that's Tiger season's flipped on its head in that game.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is, it's like, conversions and a good goal kicker, that can be the difference between, you know, making the finals and not winning a premiership, winning a finals game and not winning one. And you notice time and time again, it's the teams that are making grand finals, winning premierships, have decent kickers on their team.
And like, you definitely have to factor it in with your betting, and you factor it in when you're taking handicaps and when you're playing totals.
Definitely.
On some of these games, we can talk about that. So we've got, you know, an epic slate. As I said, we're on fire. We're seeing the ball so well.
Yep.
Now, we've got a special topic we want to talk about this week.
This will be fun.
We're going to talk about every single bookmaker. We get so many questions. Which bookmaker is the best? Which bookmaker do you make the most money on? Which ones do you get the biggest bets on? Have you ever got restricted? Why aren't you guys banned? All this stuff. We're going to go through literally every single bookmaker, and we're going to tell you our opinions. And they're each, you know, individual. Each of us have different stories and different limitations.
Yeah.
But, you know, all I would say is the reason we began the pod about 18 months ago was because we were limited on a lot of betting sites, and we were so frustrated. We felt like we had the knowledge, we were picking, you know, correct sides more than 60% of the time, but we didn't have the, you know, facility to get big money down every time. And so this was an outlet for us to kind of share our knowledge and allow others to make money where we couldn't always, you know, grab a line because we were banned or restricted.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just the list has grown longer and longer. And you know, a lot of people out there know, like, once you start winning money on most of these sites, they will restrict you. And there certainly are better ones and worse sites, definitely. But we'll go through that list and we'll have some funny stories for you as well along the way. Because I dead set remember the exact moment that I have been banned or restricted on every site.
You never forget your first ban.
Nope.
But it is not easy to make money betting on sports. And I think a lot of people understand that. And I know we make it look easy a lot of the time, but guarantee you it's not. It takes a lot of work. But the dirty little secret of all these betting sites as well is that once you do start making money, if you're in that 2% of clients that I think make money, they're not happy. They don't really want you as a customer anymore. And,
well, what do they need you? They don't need you. Like,
no,
there's enough people out there betting, and you know they're getting enough turnover. Even if you're betting big, if you're winning, why would they want you on board?
I think that is unethical, though. That they they advertise themselves and they make everyone look like they're having a good time and they make it look, you know, social. But the minute you win money, they don't want your business anymore. So I don't agree with that, and that's why, you know, we are kind of, I see us as a bit of like Robin Hood.
Yeah, true.
And we're trying to give the people something back.
Yeah, definitely. And Look, we always say on the pod that, you know, even if you are a weekend warrior punter or just an amateur punter that's just getting into it, or you just throw a few bucks on for fun over the weekends, no one likes losing. It doesn't matter if you're putting on bets just for fun, you don't like losing. So we're here, even if you're putting on $5 or $10 a game, we're going to help you win a lot more of those $5 to $10 bets. And that is more fun.
Yeah, and part of that is avoiding some bad bets. And that's what we do as well when we look through the round.
Definitely.
What's our first game?
So kicking off the round, we've got Thursday night, the Broncos hosting the Bulldogs. This line is now Broncos -6.5 the total.
And these are two teams that were absolutely on the nose a few weeks ago. People pretty much put a line through both of them. Yep. Certainly the Bulldogs got destroyed by North Queensland, you know, 3 weeks ago on a Thursday night. And everyone said, well, they're just shit. But, you know, that was just a perfect storm of that nothing went right for them and everything went right for North Queensland. And haven't those two teams' fortunes kind of changed in the last 3 weeks?
Definitely.
That Bulldog side, still on paper, is still a contender and still a side that can absolutely win the comp. And I mean, they were awful last Thursday against Manly. They were sleepwalking through the game. It was unbelievable. And they still win the game. And there's not many teams that can do that. I think they do lift for this one. They are fully healthy. They come into Brisbane. And I think this game should definitely have a line under 6 because I think Bulldogs are at least equal to Brisbane, if not slightly better, in my opinion. We need them to lift their intensity and find another level, but I honestly think that they can. Brisbane has turned the corner. Brisbane's benefited massively from getting two of the softest opponents in a row.
Definitely.
The Dragons with no Frizzell, no Thompson, no Dugan, and they only just scraped a win. And then an Eels, you know, side that's a mash unit and no Bo Scott, Timmy Redrota doesn't come back. Yep. So, you know, let's not overreact yet. But I think it's going to be a ripper of a game. And we've already given it out +6.5, and I think that's the right side with the doggies.
Yeah, definitely. And we gave it out +6.5 early, and we do like to give out these early best bets when we know that the line will move in our favour. And look, 90% of the time it does. And I totally agree with you, mate. I think that these are fairly even sides. You look at these rosters, and, you know, Broncos and Bulldogs, they're both stacked lineups. But what you have here is you have a Broncos side coming off an impressive win against the Eels, even though the Eels are, like you said, a mash unit. And people remember what they saw last. They saw the Broncos absolutely demolish the Eels, and they saw the Bulldogs scrape through in an ugly win against a hapless Manly side. But yeah, I mean, if we give 2.5 points for home field and we've got even teams, I think this line's too high. It should definitely be under 6. It should probably be closer to 4, something like that. But, you know, the public reacts to what they saw last, and what they saw last is the Broncos playing much better than the Bulldogs. So 6.5 is a good line. I think this closes well under 6, and I think it almost closes closer to 4.
And yes, I am concerned about revenge factor because the Bulldogs spanked the Broncos about 6 or 7 weeks ago just after Origin. But look, the Bulldogs really can't afford to drop this game. They are 2 wins ahead of the Cowboys, but with a worse points differential. If they lose this one, they play the Cows next week. They could potentially be out of the 4 in a week's time. So they still desperately, you know, want to be in that 4. It's where everyone wants to be. Definitely. So I think we get a full effort out of the Dogs. There's also some whispers that Milford had a tweaked injury at training, and you know, that's definitely a player that's going to change the line because he's in red hot form too.
For sure, yeah. And he left training early, and they're saying that, you know, he's probably going to be fine, but they've also said that, look, if he's not right to go, we're not going to risk it. So that's not the greatest sign of confidence coming out of the Broncos camp either. Friday night, we've got the Panthers hosting the Tigers. The Panthers are 10.5 point favourites at home and 39.5 the total.
Yeah, and we already spoke about the Tigers, not only their inability to close out that game with goal kicking, with field goal attempts, either dropping the ball in the play of the ball or missing field goals, and then obviously conceding at the very end. Teddy breaking his jaw. I mean, that just kills
you.
That is
brutal.
He's their best player. I think he is the best player in the NRL, just on form, what he's able to do, and we saw it against the Cowboys. So that's just brutal for them. It really swings their season and makes it so hard for them to make the 8. But all is not lost yet. They can still make the 8, and it is still a strong roster. And with Luke Brooks coming back, you know, that's going to bolster the halves. And look, as much as Teddy is the best fullback in the comp, the fact that you can, is it Hunt? Move Hunt back to fullback and bring a guy like Josh Addo-Carr onto the wing, you actually don't lose that much because, you know, you've got to think, it's not just how good the players you lose, but it's the value over the replacement.
That's right.
And the Tigers have a really underrated group of outside backs. So it's still a good side there with the Tigers. And the Panthers, we've kind of been on them all year saying, look, this side has a talent level that has to be a top eight side. And a lot of people said, no, the Panthers are shit. The Panthers, you know, are not a top eight side. But they've kind of shown now they're finally getting it together. But as I've said, every single week since they cut Soward, Bryce Cartwright's not a 5'8". And yeah, his son, Nathan Cleary, yeah, is a star of the future. He's a very solid player. He has looked great when they thrashed the Knights. He looked great when they thrashed the Roosters. Show me him in a close game. He hasn't won a close game yet, and that's a different level. And in this game, the Tigers halves have the edge. 10.5 is way too many points for a desperation game for both sides. Edge to Penrith at home, but 10.5, people are just giving up on the Tigers because of Teddy, but I think they're sharp for this one.
Yeah, this is a crazy line. This is probably my favourite play of the week, taking the Tigers here, plus 10.5. It's way too many points. Look, there's not too much between these sides. Yes, the Panthers have been playing well lately. The halves are starting to gel a little bit, but I agree, Nathan Cleary is not a superstar, and certainly I'll give the edge to Moses and Brooks in the halves. And everyone's sort of overreacting to Teddy, you know, breaking his jaw, and he is a superstar. But, you know, Luke Brooks comes back into the team, and that's a huge upgrade in the halves as well. So, look, honestly, there's not that much between the Panthers and the Tigers talent-wise, roster-wise. And this line, honestly, I think it should be closer to a converted try, if that. And we're getting 10.5 points here in a low total game, which I think is going to be a tight arm wrestle sort of game with two sides fighting tooth and nail for the eight. The Tigers need to win out basically to make the eight. They're going to come out hungry in this one. This is a big game for them. They're going to cover the 10.5 points, if not win this one.
And you know what? Earlier today, it was 10.5 on William Hill and Bet365 and 10 in other places. It's already moved to a flat 10 in Will Hill, and it's now juiced 10.5 on Bet365. So we actually need to play that one now.
It's a best bet now. All right, Saturday, we got the Knights hosting the Titans. The Knights are catching 13.5 points and 43.5 the total.
We kind of broke this one down on our website. Our website is www.tripodbetting.com. That's it.
That is it.
We're international. And we wrote a little description why we had to give this one out a few days ago, and the line already has moved in our favour. We're taking the Knights plus 14.5. I know they got blitzed in the second half against Penrith, but Penrith just has too much talent for them and, you know, desperately needed the game. And it was 6-6 at half time. Yep. So, you know, this Knights side, when they're at home, they do turn up. And, you know, another week with Mullen back in the side, they bring back Nathan Ross, who does seem to lift that team and can always jag a try in a game. The roster isn't terrible. Jeremy Smith's back in the team too. He's older than time itself. But he actually, again, adds experience to that side that they desperately need. Compare that to the Titans. Obviously, a huge emotional win, and they've got a lot of confidence. And this team never fails to turn up. And obviously, Hayne is basically as good as advertised.
Yeah.
So they're all concerns for me. But what's in our favour as well is Ryan James. After breaking Tedesco's jaw, he will fight his charge of the judiciary, but I think he surely has to have a week off to that. Greg Bird, I've just seen the team list. He is named, but I heard he was in doubt with his shoulder. It would be a massive win for us if Bird was out.
Definitely.
I think he's their best player. I mean, between him and James, they're probably the two best players on that side. So, and the other thing is the Titans, you never really will trust them as a big favourite. They're the kind of side you love as an underdog catching points, but the Titans are the Gold Coast Titans, wooden spoon favourites from earlier in the year, ready to lay 14.5. I don't think so. So I love the Knights catching points here.
Yeah, I love the Knights as well. And we're lucky we gave this one out early because the line has moved in our favour once again. And this is interesting to see here because you can always tell when you're on the sharp side when a line moves in your favour. But not only that, here we've got the Titans, and like I said before, everyone remembers what they saw last, and what they saw last is
remember
the Titans. Yes, exactly. And what they saw last is a Hayne field goal to beat the Tigers at the death. So everyone's high on the Titans, and what they saw is the Knights get absolutely brutalized in the second half against the Panthers. So despite that, I know that every single mug punter, all the public will be rushing to the window to bet the Titans in this one, yet the lines move the other way. And what does that tell me? That tells me that sharps are on the Knights. So I think we're on the right side here. I think we've got a good line. And once again, we've got a good line, so we'll roll with the Knights, who should show up at home. And we have mentioned on numerous occasions that the Knights show up more so at home than they do away. So I think this is a good spot.
And you know my rule taking points. I do need to believe that the underdog can win. And honestly, the Knights have lost something like 15 in a row. They're desperate to just get a win. They really do want to try and get a win here. So I think they're going to be playing hard. And yeah, I think they do have a chance. They're a live dog in this one. So that's why I like it even more.
Yeah, and as long as it's tight, 14 and a half's a lot. Saturday afternoon game, we've got the Seagulls hosting the Storm. The Seagulls are plus 9.5 and 38.5 the total.
And I'm sure there's some 10.5s out there too. And I've had my eye on this game for a little while. And we've been saying for about 6 weeks now since Origin ended, or whenever it was, 5 weeks ago, the Storm are going to rest players. I mean, Cronk and Smith have to be fatigued. And you know what? I think the fatigue is showing. Like, you know, you look at, they played a completely full-strength side against the Knights right after Origin, when we hoped that they would rest a couple guys. And, yeah, they won the game, but, like, they didn't look fresh. And, you know, like, are they getting worn down? Like, you know, he needs to give those guys rest if he wants to win four straight finals games. So, having the fact that they had a brutal Monday night, you know, kind of really rough encounter down in the capital there.
Yep.
And now they're going to back up on a Saturday. Teams are never good backing up Saturday after Monday night footy. It just makes too much sense not to rest Smith and Cronk. So although the Manly are quite below average side and they've lost their best player in Trbojevic, they lost probably their second best player in Dylan Walker, I'm still definitely looking at Manly and I'm looking at just taking plus 10.5. Parcells back in the team. Nate Miles is back. There's just enough. And, yeah, I really do believe, like I'm saying, the Storm named a full-strength side, but I believe at least one, if not two, stars rest for the Storm. And they probably still would win the game. But if we do get a player rested, now we've got a great line. And if they don't rest, you've still kind of got like a fairish line for a home Manly team. So definitely thinking about taking the plus 10.5 with Manly.
Yeah, and this is one of those ones where it's not necessarily like a situational spot. We just talked about this. You know, we've talked about this spot 2 weeks out. We were looking at this Manly Storm match. We were looking at, firstly, Storm Raiders, and we thought the Storm may rest someone there. They might go down to Canberra thinking, shit, you know, we probably won't win this game anyway. Maybe we should take this time to rest either Cronk or Smith. But they didn't. And we said if they didn't rest one there, they'd rest at least one of them here. And look, they've got to be looking at doing that. I mean, them and the Sharks are well ahead at the top of the table in 1 and 2 at the moment, and Bellamy's not dumb. He's looking at that. He knows he's getting a top 2 spot. But not only that, the Cows lost last week, and that drops them even further out of contention for a top 4 spot. And the Cows are the side that you do not want to play first round. So I don't think the Storm have to worry about playing the Cows first round anymore and first round of the finals and finishing top of the table. They're going to be playing the Raiders or the Doggies, and you know, really, that's marginal. I think the Raiders are still slightly better than the Dogs. But this is the spot, yeah, like you said, where we think they're going to rest some at least someone, one of their spine. And if they do, we've got a great line. If they don't, we've probably got, you know, an okay line. You can live with it. You're not going to have, you know, this line isn't going up to 12.5 if they do play. So
yeah, it's one you just got to hold your nose and bet on Manly. You don't want to do it. You're probably not going to hear anything until potentially an hour before kickoff. But I think I haven't bet it yet, but I think I will.
Yeah, sounds good. Saturday night game, Raiders hosting the Eels. Raiders are laying 12.5 points and 44.5 the total.
And you just said that, you know, the Storm don't want to play the Cows, and you said nobody wants to play the Cows in the final. I almost feel like the new team that nobody wants to face is the Raiders. They are the form team of the comp right now. And you know, it's actually not a surprise. We saw it coming and we've been betting on them the last few weeks. It's a loaded team.
It is.
And, you know, even though they don't have just one Origin player, just an Origin bench player in Papali and that's it. But yeah, Sticky Ricky's got them gelling. And as I say every week, I love the halves and I love the powerful outside backs that they've got. This particular game, the Eels possibly getting back Bo Scott and they will get back Radradra. And I don't want to lay that number of points, but I don't want to get out in front of this freight train of the Raiders. So I'm staying away from the game.
Yeah, I don't have much to say on this game either. The Raiders win the game, and like we've said in the past, we don't like betting on an underdog catching a lot of points if we don't think they can win. And honestly, I don't think the Eels win this game. They're just too bashed up, too many injuries, too many guys out throughout the season. They're just hapless, but they do put in every week. So 12.5 is one of those numbers where, you know, it's just enough to keep me off the Raiders, especially at home, because we know that the Raiders can just pile on points in a hurry, especially at home. But yeah, I'm not laying 12.5 points. I haven't done that all year, so I'm not about to start now. on... Oh, actually, I've skipped a game.
Yeah, I think we've got a bit jumbled up. I've skipped a game. That Raiders-Eels may be the Sunday game.
That's a Sunday.
We've got one more Saturday. 2 o'clock. Got one more. Let's punch out the last Saturday night game, and then we're going to talk about different bookmakers.
Saturday night, we've got Cowboys hosting the Warriors. Cowboys are laying 13.5 points, 42.5 the total.
Another interesting one. That line sounds too high to me, I think. Although, having said that, I saw it was 14.5 a couple of days ago. But both of these sides had terrible losses on the weekend.
They did.
Of all the results on the weekend, by the way, my sports bet tipping, I got 7 out of 8. My one tip I got wrong.
Tigers.
Yes.
Oh, no.
I was the Hain field goal away from a perfect round. And
Jesus.
That was a tough round to pick. But the biggest surprise of all on the weekend was the Warriors going down by 20 at home. That's the one.
Yep.
And even though I've had money on the Bunnies last couple of weeks, like I knew that is a roster that, you know, still actually does demand a little bit of respect, and they showed it. But so what are we looking at again?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so 13.5.
13.5. You certainly don't want to lay that amount of points with the Cows, but it's just a terrible time to go against the Cows as well at home. I don't think Jake Granville is back for the Cowboys yet, and he does seem to make a big difference. They're really struggling for creativity without him. JT can't do it all on his own. It's just another one of those games I just don't know what to do with. The Warriors need it to make the 8. The Cowboys need it to stay in touch with the 4. So it probably should be closer than 13.5 points. But, oh, geez, when you go against the Cows at Dairy Farmers, they just make you pay.
Yeah, I don't like this game at all. I'm staying far, far away from this game. You're right, it looks like a few too many points. Obviously, 14.5 is a lot better. So a little bit of money has come for the Warriors. But, oh man, the Cowboys are just ruthless up there at 1300 Smiles, and you know they're coming off a terrible loss against the Roosters. They're going to want to, you know, put in a good showing at home. But this Warriors side is pretty stacked as well. My one qualm with taking the Warriors is they've dropped Lola here once again. He's playing New South Wales Cup this week, and Fusatua's dropping to fullback, which is, in my opinion, he's one of the best players on their team, Lola here is, and then he's not going to be playing at all. So he didn't play well last week, but I still think he should be in the roster. So I'm not taking the Warriors, catching 13.5 points. It's probably just not enough for me. Plus, you know, backing against the Cowboys when they've had a few bad weeks and they're coming back home to Townsville, it's never a smart idea. And we realised that when we took the Roosters against the Cows earlier in the season. So I'm going to stay away from this one. But it'll be a few times.
I think we took the Bunnies against the Cows. I think we took Bulldogs against the Cows. We took ourselves into it, and then you start watching the game.
You feel silly.
Yeah,
you just feel silly.
Don't mind me. I'm just literally betting on the Tigers right now because I'm terrified that line's going to move.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Lola. He is injured or slightly injured, so he's been dropped to reserve grade.
Well, no, not even injured. He's just been dropped for a bad performance last week.
Oh, there you go. He's obviously out of favour because he didn't get to play that other game. He spent the whole game on the bench. But I also heard Cutter, one of my favourite players, Solomon
Cutter,
may be hurt as well.
Yeah, which is not good. No. He's just a monster. He's low to the ground, drives the legs, got a double last week. He's a good player.
At that fend that he put on against the Titans.
Oh,
so,
it's brutal.
Yeah, I need him playing if I ever want to take the Warriors.
Yep. Well, that should do us. We've actually gone through 6 games. That's brutal.
That's cool. What kind of pace are we on?
We are at 22.
Okay, that's actually not too bad. All right. Well, yeah, as we said before, we've obviously suffered a bunch of different restrictions. That's what happens when you do win at a consistent clip. The bookmakers don't really like it, but there are some bookmakers better than others. And there's a little story to tell behind each one. So I've kind of quickly jotted down every bookie, just in order that they appear in the apps on my phone.
Yeah.
So I'll start us off. Ladbrokes.
Start us off.
Shout out to Ladbrokes. I had a good result on the weekend. I think every single pick of the ones that we won, I had bet on Ladbrokes. I've been making a lot of money this year with the look-ahead lines. So often we've released early lines on games. Ladbrokes let you bet on every game of the season, you know, number of weeks out. And it's a mistake by them because things change and you can get such good advantage. And a classic example was a couple of weeks ago when I got the Tigers as underdogs against the Eels and they closed $1.30 favourite.
And I'll just add to that as well. And for me, I've been banned from every single site that provides look-ahead lines. But, like, it is dumb for these bookmakers. I know it's a good feature to have, like a bit of a you know, it brings in, we provide these look-ahead lines. But to be perfectly honest, your average punter isn't betting on a bet 5 weeks out. That is only your professional punters. So you're going to lose money long-term if you're a bookie putting on those look-ahead lines. And like you said, you know, you've been killing it on those look-ahead lines.
Yeah, and I think it was the last straw on the weekend. And I even had the Roosters in that game there. and I made a big withdrawal from my account, and then I went to log in, I think it was yesterday, because I saw they were one of the last places that still had 6.5 on the Bulldogs with the Milford news, and it said, you have been logged out. And I thought, that's kind of funny. And then, you know, my password wasn't working. I'm looking into it further. I didn't have any emails. I called them up and they said, oh yeah, your account's been closed for, it's just a business decision. You haven't done anything wrong, but it's a business decision. And I, you know, tried to demand a few more answers because, you know, I like my Ladbrokes account. Could really make so much money on that account with those look ahead lines. Spoke to another manager. You know, I was thinking about playing the podcast. Like, do you know who I am? Yeah. But, I just tried to kill them with kindness.
Yeah.
But ultimately what I would say is, yeah, I guess they've deleted both of our accounts now. So, that's going to happen if you are winning big sums. But honestly, my advice is if you don't have a Ladbrokes account, you would get one because you can take advantage of those early bets. And if you are a smaller punter, they're probably not even going to be too bothered if, you know, you're turning, you know, a $20 or $50 profit every week.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I have been banned from Ladbrokes. It was one of the first bans that I ever got, and it would have been 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even more actually. And I remember the exact night. I went to a mate's birthday party and I came home, and I think there was a few blokes there, but I used to just scour the betting sites for mistakes, etc. And I found, I remember the name of the team, it was called Labora Cookster or something like that. And it was a Eastern European basketball game. And they had a line on the game. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, they had the odds wrong. And the line was like $1.30 to, you know, $3 something. So I looked through all my other betting sides. Yep, they had the same line, $1.90 both sides. So I just absolutely loaded the gun with a number of dimes on the side. And then I bet back on another site at $1.90. The bet won. The money was in my account. I tried to withdraw. It said zero. It said withdrawal done. And then the next morning, I got the dreaded phone call. And then ever since then, my account has been closed with Ladbrokes. But yeah, like you said, and we'll go through all of these, obviously. But like you said, you know, they're not going to ban. You know, you will get banned if you're winning a huge amount of money on their site, or you're taking advantage of every promo or ridiculous stuff like that. But if you haven't got one of these sites, it pays to just get them all. And if you get banned, too bad. But, you know, if you've got 10 sites and you get banned from 5, you're still, you know, in the clear. And all of the sites have good stuff about them, whether they're look-ahead lines, different promos. So it's worth just getting all of them. And if you're unlucky enough to get banned, so be it.
That's it. That's what we say every week. Like, you need to have as many sites at your disposal as you can. And one of the reasons we have so many is because every week it seems like we've limited more and more to different new sites. Let's go a little bit faster. Crown Bet for you.
Crown Bet. Now, I was banned from Crown Bet back when it was Bet Easy. And I remember exactly, the books never used to be as sharp. And I used to be able to do correlated multis, which basically means that one event, if one event happens, the other event that you're multiing it with has a higher probability of coming off. So what I used to do is, in tournaments, I used to bet a team to win or a person to win, multied with them to win the tournament, which obviously you should not be allowed to do. Did it in the Cricket World Cup. I did it over about a span of 18 months. And then finally they caught on to me and basically gave me a call and said, look, you know, mate, we can do this the easy way or the hard way.
The bet easy way?
The bet easy way or the hard way. And I said, well, what's the hard way? And he just says, we go back through your account over the last 18 months and take away all the profits from that time. And I said, nah, we'll do the easy way. So that was me banned from
bet
easy.
They had a right to delete your account because you were actually, well, it's their fault. They were accepting the bets, but they were.
Yeah, yeah. He said, you've been doing correlated multis. I said, oh, correlated, what do you mean correlated multis? And he says, don't play stupid with me, mate. Yeah. You know what that is.
Can make an argument that you were genuinely cheating there. So, but, you know, got to find an entrance where you can. They're not going to complain when you bet on shit when the odds are just, you know, drastically in their favour. No, I certainly don't care about that. But when you bet shit that's in your favour, suddenly we've got a problem. For me, Crown Bet, I can't always rely on it. I constantly get pending bet, and they, you know, they're reviewing it. It's manually being reviewed by managers, and then they'll accept like 5% of my stake, and they'll change the odds or they'll change the line. So I've just alerted them to the fact that they had something a bit too high, and then I'm stuck with my finger up my butt and a big amount of money in my account. So that's gotten frustrating. But you know, shout out to Crown Bet, they have had us to the box a couple of times. Actually, I made my
great bets. Hospitality.
Well, yeah, I was not so hospitable back to them, and I made my feelings felt. I think
yes. You did.
In our last encounter.
You were inebriated.
We haven't been in a corporate box since then.
No, so, what a surprise.
Sorry about that. Lux Bet.
LuxBet, similar sort of thing. I did correlated multis all over the place. They let me do it for quite some time. And then I had a couple of larger bets on correlated multis that ended up winning. And then they firstly stopped me from using all their promos, then restricted me to, you know, a few hundred bucks per bet. And then it was down to like $1 and $5 bets. So I closed it.
That doesn't get it done. Yeah, for me, I'd struggle. I think LuxBet is a great site for your team totals. I always find the best lines on there. The issue is they don't really take bets from me that are triple figures.
Yeah.
You know, but if you are betting a bit under that $100 or less on bets, LuxBet's another really good one where you find value, because they leave lines a bit too long when, you know, it's moved in other places.
One thing about LuxBet, if you're going to get a LuxBet account, make sure that you check the website for the promos, because they do not have the promos on the app. So you'll only find them on the website, and then you go to your app to bet them.
Absolutely right. Tab.
Tab. I actually love Tab, except for the fact that they won't let me put any bets down, any big bets down, which is absolutely grim. And the thing about Tab is it's one of the, I guess you got me onto Tab a little while ago, and it's like, they cater to the public, basically. A lot of, you know, your everyday bettors bet there. So you'll often find that the favourites odds are much lower on Tab. So you can get good odds on the underdogs on Tab, but only if you're betting minuscule amounts.
Yeah, I can't rely on Tab. People say to us, like, you're banned on all your online accounts. Why don't you walk into TABs and, you know, just put your money on in cash? But, I mean, it's not that simple. You know, these lines are fluid. They're moving all over the place. You know, if you find something, you know, late at night or whatever, early in the morning, it's not, you know, that practical to
get. Well, I mean, just take this week, for example, we released Bulldogs plus 6.5. And an hour later, it's 6. Yeah, and you can't even get 6.5. So, you know,
in a perfect world, yeah, but you could look at doing that. But you know, they'd probably start putting up like wanted photos in the in the bookmaker. So
that's
Bet 365.
Oh, I love Bet 365. It is basically, well, it is the only site that I can get good money down, and they've never ever rejected one of my bets. I've been with them for over a year now. They have never limited any one of my bets. You know, I don't want to say how much money I'm putting down on each bet, but they're decent sums of money, never limited me. They've got the best promos for the multis, and I love putting on multis as well, just like every other person does, and they give you the cash bonus for the multis. But just for the array of markets, they have more markets than anyone else, I find. And you can just get big bets down every single time, and, you know, I haven't had any qualms with them whatsoever, and it's the only bookie that I haven't been limited or banned from.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's my go-to bookie, and we're not just saying that because we have good offers with Bet365, but I think we've just, like, we've honestly been cleaning them out. They don't seem to mind.
No,
like, we've won that many multis with them, and if we haven't won our multis, we've lost by about one leg. And as you say, that cash bonus is just sensational. You get up to 60% cash bonus, and that can be thousands of dollars, and literally it has been.
Yeah.
It's paid out big for us, it's paid out big for the people that have followed us. And yeah, I don't have a drama getting down bigger bets.
Mm-hmm.
So when a line that we like is on Bet365, that's where I'm going to bet it.
And let me tell you this much, when we won 22 grand, or a little over 22 grand off that multi off $100, if that was on any other site, we would have been limited, banned, restricted almost immediately, and they just let things roll on as per usual.
They certainly do. Centrebet.
Centrebet. So they were around. Obviously, Centrebet, William Hill, and Tom Waterhouse were all under the same umbrella. Basically, it was called Sportingbet. William Hill was before, but basically, I had all three of those sites. I remember this fondly, and they used to have promos, obviously, on Centrebet. Centrebet, William Hill, and Tom Waterhouse, and they'd have all of the same promos. So I think they flagged my account because I used to just play every single promo on every different site that they had at the max limit amount every week, and they got sick of it.
Yeah, they did the same to me, and they had like a flat out 10% max stake bet ban on me. So whatever they were max stake they would accept on their regular, you know, website, I was limited to 10% max. So if there was a promo and it was like $20 max on, you know, a Friday night favourite in the AFL that should be $1.10, and you can get them at $2, and it's $20 max bet, I could get a max of $2 down.
Yeah, it's grim.
And I'd call them and say, what the hell? You know, $2 max.
Yeah.
So I don't really use...
Actually, yeah, you're right. That happened to me too, yeah.
Yeah, so you hate to see it happen. But, yeah, they are linked with Will Hill. So Will Hill, for me, that was the first account I ever got, Sporting Bets. I've had it for a long time, so actually they... I'm actually classified as a VIP because I've had that account for so long, and they're another really good one. They have really high limits, and they actually show you what the limit is. So if they don't just do this garbage where it says pending and then says rejected, and then they go and move the odds on you. Like, you know exactly how much you can bet on any market. You can't always get huge bets on, you know, look ahead lines. That's another one that has the look aheads. But I do really like Will Hill. It's probably my second favorite place to bet, and that's where we're doing the challenge.
Yeah, that's it.
We should probably talk about the challenge at the end of this pod as well.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of Will Hill, like I said, I got banned from Centrebet, Will Hill, and Tom Waterhouse because they were all under the same umbrella almost during the same week, so they obviously passed along my email. But for anyone out there that doesn't have a William Hill account, you should certainly get one. I mean, they do honestly have, they'd have the best promos out of any site with their, you know, their cashback offers. You know, lead at halftime, multi-insurance, you know, lead at quarter time in the AFL. So they're probably the best one to get if you're a, you know, a smaller punter and you want to be looking for the best promos. Because like we said, promos are an excellent way to make money. And if you have enough accounts, you basically, you know, play the promos on all the accounts and you're making money for sure.
Yeah, like as we said, we're doing our challenge and we got a really good offer from William Hill. Deposit $8 and you get $88 bonus bet.
Yep.
So I was like, right, enough's enough. I've been putting on little $2 bets for my dad on the races. I said, it's time for you to get your own account.
Yep.
You put in $8, you got $88 worth of free bets. This was last weekend when we went from five in our best bets. Mm-hmm. So I gave him a few multis to throw his bonus money on. His account is over $400 now. So he's certainly happy. And I've got him playing the promos of, I'm like convincing him to put $100 on the Swans at $1.80 on the weekend and stuff.
Yep.
And he felt pretty nervous about doing it. But I was like, look, you have to trust me. It's positive EV.
That's what we're all about.
Unibet.
Unibet. I don't mind Unibet, actually. And I used it the most before I got Bet365. Now, basically, I only use Bet365. But Unibet were good at the start. That let me throw down dimes here and there. But now, they do limit me pretty severely. And the problem with that I have with Unibet is sometimes they'll accept a big bet and sometimes they won't. So I'm left stranded with all this money in my Unibet account. And another issue I have with them is if I'm trying to get a bet on late, you know, 5-10 minutes before a game, what they do is I'll put on a big bet and it'll say pending and they'll pend it for about 20 minutes. And by the time it's unpended or been rejected, the fucking game started already and then I'm stranded with like a bunch of dimes in my fucking account. Yeah. Shit.
No, you hate that. Yeah, I'm lukewarm with Unibet because the app is slow. Like, it always seems to be reloading.
Really
and,
slow.
And yeah, you just never know when you can get a decent bet on. Palmerbet.
Palmerbet, to be honest with you, don't have it. Heard bad things about it, so I'm not going to get it.
You heard bad plus, things from I'm, me.
Plus, yeah, I heard bad things from you. Plus, I just love Bet365 so much that I don't even bother with these tiny ones like Palmerbet.
I got it because they were hanging the Orlando Magic at 500-1 to like win the East or something crazy like that, and I thought that team's got potential. I like some of these guys, the young athletes, and they had something like a 500 match deposit at the time. So yeah, I'll jump on Palmerbet, but it was useless. There were some times when I actually, like, it told me a bet had been rejected, but then when I checked my account later, it had been accepted, and I'd gone and doubled up and things like that. So it wasn't user-friendly, and then they cottoned on pretty quickly that I was an advantage player, and they just completely shut down. You know, they'd accept $6 of a stake that I was trying to put on, so it's rendered the account pretty much useless. And I think the only one we've got left is Sportsbet, which is probably the most common account
that
most
definitely.
People have. You know, the, one of the first Aussie bookmakers and highly marketed.
Yeah, definitely one of the most popular, I guess, betting sites out there. And most of the people that punt have a Sportsbet account or have had one in the past. I got mine shut down 2 years ago, I think. And I remember it exactly. It was the AFL promo, lead at any quarter and you get your money back. And it was at that time, it was an epic promo. It was $100 max bet over all the games over like a span of 10 weeks. So I was max betting every single game every week for the whole time. And my account would have grown. Like, I put $800 in there to start with, I think, for the 8 games for the round. And I never deposited over that 10-week span. I pretty much only played the promos on Sportsbet. And there was a lot of thousands of dollars in my account when I was done with that promo. And then shortly thereafter, They banned me from the promos, and then now they've completely banned me from putting on even $1.
Yeah, I loved that promo. There was the same one this year, NRL, I think lead at halftime, yep. Money back. I was playing every single NRL game. It might have only been $50 a game, but still. Mm. And I got the fateful email just this year saying, look, you've been banned from promos. And soon after that came the limits on any sizable bets on any regular markets too.
Tough out there. Yeah, it's so a hard fucking life out there.
Every week it gets tougher. And geez, it sucks when you see awesome odds or an awesome line on a bookmaker and you know you can't bet it.
Yeah, I know.
It's the most frustrating feeling.
Sometimes I see a really good some really good odds at work and I'm thinking, oh shit, I really want to bet that. But I cannot possibly ask someone at my work to put down that amount of money. They just fucking think I'm a reckless C.
And sometimes we need to use each other's account to,
exactly,
to get a bet down and stuff like that. So that's a bit of a snapshot of our life, pod life.
Yeah, Bet365, thank God for them. Because otherwise, honestly, I wouldn't be able to put more than like a few $100 down on any site.
And I'll pour one out for Will Hill too, very reliable. For me as well. Right, we better get back into the round. I'm sure we've waxed lyrical.
Yeah, definitely. We've spent 20 minutes on that. But like, that's a
pretty important topic, and we get messages about that every week.
And so, if you're going to listen to this, but you probably won't remember. So if you need an extra site, hit us up, Facebook message us, or head to our website. We do have all the best sign up offers on there. It's tripodbetting.com, like Jacob said before. But anyway, we've only got two games to go. On the Sunday afternoon, we've got Roosters hosting the Dragons. The Roosters are 5.5-point favourites and 39.5 the total.
Yeah, I made a late decision to kind of play the Roosters just for the win against the Cows, and I had them 1-12. So, I mean, we don't really give out a bet like that when it's not a 50-50 line bet, but I really felt that this Roosters side is a top six talent side, and they're finally fully healthy. And so I still feel the same way about them. Now, they are still trying. Now they've got all these troops back on deck. And I saw something interesting on Friday night. It was like the ladder. If you flipped every single game this year that was decided by 4 points or less, and if the Roosters had won every game that they'd lost by four or less, they'd be fourth on the ladder, even including the ones they've won. I don't think they have had a close win this year. They either win big or
they couldn't have if they're jumping all the way from to fourth.
My point is, this Roosters side, even with all the injuries they had earlier, it's a really quality side. But look, the Dragons aren't bad either. Feel bad for the Dragons, man. Like, they turned up last week. Who did they play? Was that
Sharkies?
Well, they beat the Sharkies. They beat the Sharkies on this weekend, just gone. Turned up against the Broncos and they were right there at the end. Diabolical
weather.
Turned up against the Doggies and they were right there for that one. They can't make the eight now. But, you know, with Dugan back, with Frizzell and Thompson back, it's still a solid team. They're probably catching what was over 6.5. Was 6.5 earlier in the week. 5.5, I can't play it.
Nah, I can't play it either at 5.5. And I was probably looking at the Dragons in this one, but I think, honestly, the Dragons are realistically, they're out of the eight. But I think that they still kind of believe that they are in the hunt for the eight. If the cards fall perfectly for them, I think they can still be there. And they probably, as a team, still believe that they're there. But the problem is, this Roosters roster is better than this Dragons roster, and they're at home. But you don't know what sort of effort you're going to get out of the Roosters. Like we've said in the past, these teams that are, you know, down the bottom, don't have anything really to play for except pride. Sometimes they lift against the good teams and then fall flat against the shit teams. And, you know, not that I consider the Dragons a shit team, but they're not to the caliber of the Cowboys last week. And that's the kind of game that a Roosters side with nothing to play for would get up for. So I'm staying away from this one. I honestly, you know, I think the Roosters win the game, but, you know, I'm not laying points with them and I'm not taking the Dragons unless it's 6.5. Monday night, we've got the Rabbits hosting the Sharks. This line sitting at pretty much a consensus flat 8. You can get 8.5 in some places and 41.5 the total.
Geez, the Sharkies, I can't remember the last time they won a game. Yeah. It's been so long.
So long!
3 weeks ago they played the top. Oh no, they didn't win that.
Nah.
No, they haven't won a game for so long. Geez, it must be tough being a Sharks fan, I tell you. I do think they will win this one, with or without Gallen. To me, he doesn't actually move the needle all that much because they do have a deep forward pack and he hasn't been, you know, like that same rampaging, game-changing best forward in the comp that he was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. You'd prefer to have him in there if you did play the Sharks. The Rabbitohs, impressive win last weekend. They're just unpredictable at this point. They certainly had a point to prove because they got, you know, a 50 spot dropped on them by the Raiders and it was a good spot to go on them against the Storm and then, you know, I'm impressed that Maguire got them to bounce back and beat that Warriors team. I really am. But I can't take the Rabbitohs hearing that Adam Reynolds has got a a hamstring injury, and he's probably their most key player.
Yeah.
So to me, it feels like a game where the Sharks probably, you could look to play the Sharks straight up maybe,
yeah,
if you could get a decent price, but I'm not seeing line value in this one.
Nah, not at 8, and to be honest with you, this is one of the rare times that if this line was 7.5, which I think it is moving towards actually in some places, I'd almost be tempted to take the Sharkies in this one, even laying 7.5 points. I think it's the ideal spot, obviously. Everyone has gone off the Sharkies bandwagon, haven't won for 3 weeks, and a very, very dismal performance last week. And then contrast that to the Rabbits, who, you know, like you said, it was a perfect spot for them last week. They were coming off an absolute drubbing. And now they're coming off a big win against New Zealand, and they're going to come. I think they're going to fall a little bit flat in this one. They played as good as they could possibly play, and the Sharks probably played, you know, the worst game that they have all season almost. So, you know, I hate laying points, but that's the only way I could look if this line was under 8.
That's it. So I think we like more of the earlier games in the round. We like the Doggies on Thursday night plus 6.5. Already given that as a best bet. Tigers plus 10.5. That is also our best bet. I literally
bet of the round.
I've been betting it while you've been talking on Bet365.
Fuck you.
Link it in with a couple of the AFL favourites. There's about $3.02 AFL favourites. Nah, surely.
To be honest, I've done this already. I took it on Bet365.
You're probably the one that pushed it down.
Yeah, I linked it with the three AFL favourites.
So 10.5. Well, I've done the same. So no doubt. One of those three AFL favourites will lose this weekend, but the Tigers dead set can win that game. I'm going to have a bit on the money line. I'm going to have a bit on Tigers straight up as well. And I might even have a little bit of money on the Knights to win straight up against the Titans, but certainly I've already bet plus 14.5. I like that one. It's also already been given out as a best bet on our website, www.tripodbetting.com. And we probably going to pull the trigger on Manly. We're going to keep our ear very close to the ground. And what I would love to see is square punters betting on a full-strength Storm against an undermanned Manly and pushing that line up. And then we can maybe be able to grab a better line.
Yeah, honestly, because I don't think that, you know, Bellamy's a coy little motherfucker. We're not going to know if one of those guys are rested up until game time. And no one's rushing to the window to play Manly. So I think we've probably got a little bit of time up our sleeve, perhaps, with that one. But if we see the line dropping, we'll have to pull the trigger.
If we see any whispers like, oh, it was noted that, you know, Hampton and Green were spending a lot of time at the, you know, in the halves at training or something, then you kind of, you know, you'll smell a rat.
Definitely.
Look, yeah, as we said, we've got all the links that you need for all the betting accounts. So hit us up. We'll give you the links to our favourite ones. So you send a private message to Tripod. Tripod NRL podcast on Facebook. You might have noticed we've had a little bit of a facelift. We've taken a bit of betting terminology and betting out of our names of our, not only our Facebook page, but our group as well. It was called Betting Tips and Punters Forum. It's now just called Tips Forum. So if you're not in our group, you need to just search Tips Forum.
We're not taking out the betting. We're going to keep putting bets in there, but Facebook is trying to bend us over, and we're just trying to cop it for about the next month or so.
We're trying to push back.
Yeah, we're not pushing back.
It's not gay if you don't push back.
Yeah, of course. Yes. So we're just trying to, bear with us. We're trying to figure out what we can and can't post on Facebook. So, you know, join our group. It's called, like we said, Tips Forum. We've had to change the name. We're taking out betting out of our Tripod NRL Betting Podcast Facebook page. And we're trying to move things a bit more onto our website, where it's not controlled by Facebook, obviously, and we can sort of, you know, put whatever we want on there. And that's tripodbetting.com. So hit that one up. You know, we'll be posting all our best bets on there, as well as the progress of the multi or the 100K challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Our website is the place to go to. It's actually really user-friendly. It's almost like an app. You've got the menu tab. You can go straight away under tabs. You've got best bets. They're all laid out with descriptions and with screenshots and everything. You've got the progress of our 100K challenge. So we started that up in the Tips Forum. So everyone got together and said, we want to do a challenge. We know that they're usually a scam, but we honestly believe in you guys that we can, you know, come up with enough winning bets. We've currently won 4 straight bets, and we've started with, you know, a $500 free bet and $20 for a few signups. That's now up to $5,000.
Yep.
That's not too far away if we keep, you know, laying that down, parlaying that into a few more bets.
Definitely.
And we've been picking the bets in the group, so it's all really good fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, like, literally exclusive links tabs on our website, so you can check it out and you can see all the different offers we have, and you can see what suits you. And we take questions as well in the group. We're always happy to chat about games, and obviously, if you're, you know, trying to sign up to one of these sites, send us a private message through Tripod Facebook page as well.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so let's just keep this riding this wave, you know.
Yep.
Four straight winners in sudden death bets for the challenge, up to $5,000, as I just said. 12 wins of our last 13 50-50s.
We're on a roll!
You know, if it wasn't for Jared Hayne, it'd be 13 in a row, which is, you know, about 4,000 to 1 chance of happening.
Which really, and you look at all these scam challenge pages, if we won 13 in a row, that would be well over turning $100 into, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, you know, $100 times 4,000 is $4 million.
No, 400, what is it? 100 times 400,000.
That's a shitload of money. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 400,000. That is what I'm saying.
Boom.
So, bet, follow our bets. We'll win money, you know. Yep. I think we've proven that beyond doubt. Our winning record is well over 61% on supposedly 50-50 lines.
Yeah, and that's over a large sample size too, 600-odd bets. So.
Absolutely. Good luck with all the punts. As always, please...
Please
gamble responsibly.